Our reading today is a poem by the Nigerian novelist and poet Ben Okri, An African Elegy. We are the miracles that God made to taste the bitter fruit of time. We are precious. And one day our suffering will turn into the wonders of the earth. There are things that burn me now, which turn golden when I am happy. Do you see the mystery of our pain? That we bear poverty and are able to sing and dream sweet things. And that we never curse the air when it is warm, or the fruit when it tastes so good, or the lights that bounce gently on the waters. We bless things even in our pain. We bless them in silence. That is why our music is so sweet. It makes the air remember. There are secret miracles at work that only time will bring forth. I too have heard the dead singing, and they tell me that this life is good. They tell me to live it gently, with fire, and always with hope. There is wonder here. And there is surprise. In everything, the unseen moves. The ocean is full of songs. The sky is not an enemy. Destiny is our friend. As I take up the topic of grief, I don't know if my words will have anything to offer that you have not already lived. And yet, I trust that our being here in community will offer its own blessing. Because all of us here know what it is to lose someone. We all know what it is to have to say goodbye when we don't want to. And I think a huge part of why we come here week after week is to be with people who believe that our losses are not meaningless. That out of all the pain that can be in this life can come beautiful and important gifts, gifts of compassion, and grace. Krista Tippett, the host of the NPR program On Being, has some wise words for us. Krista Tippett says, "We are formed as much by darkness as by light." I can't think of a life, she says, that is wise and generative where there hasn't been pain and darkness too. I believe that. I know it. I think you know it too. And yet, I wonder, how does it feel to you to hear those words right now? In my own life, I can look back on difficult times. I know she's right that out of our struggles can come wisdom. I hope that I have gained at least some empathy for the struggles that we all go through. And I think that in some way we are all able to claim sorrow and struggle as our teachers. But I also know that when we are in a place of deep grief, when we are in that place of pain and darkness, it really does not help very much to know that wisdom is going to come out of it. It doesn't help very much, and it doesn't take away our pain. In the raw early days of loss, sometimes The grief can be so overwhelming, it feels like nothing is going to help. But if anything is going to help, surely, surely it is the love that we offer one another. Surely it is the love that lives in our hearts and flows between and among us. I think back to how I felt when my own parents died, my dad now about 3 years ago, and my mom about a year and a half ago. I know that a lot of us have been through grief, those early days when you feel adrift and jagged and lost, buffeted by waves of emotion that can take you by surprise and sometimes drag you all the way down to your knees. It's not just sadness. We can feel anger, guilt, sometimes relief, which then triggers more guilt, even though it's so very normal. Trouble sleeping, physical pain. This is what grief is like. When I was acutely grieving, one thing that did help was the way that so many people reached out to offer their sympathy. I remember, I'm a very tidy person in my spatial life, and my tendency is to put things away right away. But I got a lot of sympathy cards after my parents died, and I found that I did not want to put them away. For a long time, I just stacked them in a pile, but I just wanted to keep that pile where I could see it, and I looked at it, and it was like this tangible love that was just sort of sending out little gleams of love and hope, and that was very important to me. That was very important to me. The love we offer one another is such a gift. And if anything is going to help, surely it is that. As we move forward in time, many of us have found that it does get easier to live with grief. At least we get better at it. It's not because we care less or love less. It just gets easier. I'm so struck by the words of Ben Okri. He says, "There are things that burn me now. There are things that burn me now, which turn golden when I am happy." I wonder if that feels true to you. I think of the memories of my own parents, and yes, for a while they burned. But now, to me, they are becoming golden. I'll show you something. I brought a picture of my parents today. I'll show you what they look like. So here they are. Folks in the back, I apologize, but here they are. This is my mom. That's my dad. My dad's the one with the goofy expression. So my mom was a cook, and I have a lot of her recipes, which I really treasure. And one time that I feel especially close to her is when I'm cooking something that she used to make. It's just such a wonderful connection to her, and it feels like it can continue. It continues in time. And with my dad, I find the time that I feel most connected to him these days is I always used to call him up when I needed some good advice. He was a psychiatrist, so he gave some pretty good advice. And he was also sort of a sassy guy. And so I find that I can still talk to him in my imagination. And I'll think about what's going on and say, "Hey, Dad, what would you do?" And if I'm contemplating something that's maybe not the best idea, sometimes I'll hear him say, "Are you out of your mind?" "Thanks, Dad." And sometimes he'll just say, like, "Go get him, kiddo." And so I feel pretty close to him, too. And that's part of the work, isn't it? Finding ways to hold them close. I had a dream the other night. I had a dream that I was back in school and I was taking a class, but I wasn't quite sure what the class was supposed to be about, and it was kind of disconcerting. And in the dream, a young woman professor stopped by and she kind of leaned against the doorframe and she told me this class, she said, "It's a photography class. It's a photography class, and the theme is love. I woke up from that dream, and I thought, oh my God, what a perfect metaphor for grief. Because I do feel like part of grieving is learning how to create a sort of imaginary photo album that we can carry around with us of moments that we remember, snapshots, images of their faces, all that. I feel like, in a way, it is a photography class. And indeed, the theme is love. Ben Okri promises us that there are secret miracles at work that only time will bring forth. And this too, I think we know from living. We know that even grief is a journey of transformation, drawing us, perhaps slowly, toward greater compassion and service. And I want to take a moment to invite you to reflect in silence on how grief has transformed you. We all carry our stories, and let's just take a moment to hold that and think about what that's been like for us. A few months after my dad died, an image began to come up for me in meditation, an image of a seashore. Imagine a rocky seashore with the tide gone out. Among the rocks are countless tiny tide pools, and the wide ocean is just beyond. I wonder if maybe all of us start with hearts that are like tide pools, separate little pools of water. But life deepens and hollows us all out. The water flows in and out over the years, carving the rock ever deeper. And the tide flows in and out, and the water in those little tide pools overflows and recedes, overflows and recedes, and overflows again, until maybe we realize one day that the tiny tide pool, our heart that seemed so separate, is really a part of the great wide ocean with its vast currents of love and compassion. May every heart that grieves be comforted. And may you, may each of us be blessed far beyond what we dare to hope for in this moment. May we be blessed. May it be so for all.